Sefanya Perek Beis Pasuk Vav. The Navi is trying to convince Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, is not listening. V'haysa chevel hayam nevos kiros ro'im v'gidros tzon. And the seacoast, which we started in the previous pasuk, we were talking about the seacoast where the Plishtim are, Aza, the area closer to the Mediterranean Sea on the west of Eretz Yisrael, the seacoast is going to be nevos kiros ro'im, breakfast nooks for shepherds. Now, that's very charming sounding. So you're going to have a breakfast nook. We'll turn it into IHOP, but not in a good way. A temporary dwelling where the shepherds eat, you know, a little bit of shade in a tent. The Gidros Tzon and sheepfolds. It's not going to be where Jewish humans are living and thriving and making institutions and learning Torah and davening to Hashem. It's just going to be sheep. It'll be a wasteland. Zion v'hayachevel l'she'eris beis Yehuda aleihem yir'un. And it'll be an area. It'll be a lot, a portion for the remnant of the house of Yehuda upon which they are going to graze. Who's going to graze? Who's going to pasture? These sheep. Or, some people say, Radak says, that this might be the return of Klal Yisrael. And we will use this area as pasture land for our flocks. Can you imagine Gaza being peaceful like that, where you have sheep peacefully eating away and not bombs and missiles hidden in hospitals and children's schools? In a way, halavai that the beginning of this pasuk should come to be given that particular interpretation of it. Bevatei Ashkelon bo erev yirbatzun. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down in the evening. They're going to rebuild the houses, and they'll live there peacefully, unlike all of the West Bank settlements and Gaza situations that we see now, where everything is a war-torn urban nightmarescape. Will be different. This is, of course, the nightmare of all these protesters who are worried about the Jews getting to live peacefully in Gaza. That's the last thing they want. Ki yifkidem Hashem Elokeihem v'shav shivisam. Hashem, their God, will visit upon them and return their captivity. He'll bring them home. Imagine being brought home to the area that's been the thorn in the side of Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael for the last, how many years? Decades? Centuries? Ches shamati cherpas Moav. I heard the taunts of Moav, Hashem says. When Klal Yisrael is being led into exile by the Kastim, to Babylon, and they pass through Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are watching Jews weep and sigh, and they're cheering. Like the cheers in New York just this past week. We're for Hamas. I don't remember exactly what the chant was, but it was a little chilling to hear them chant openly that we support Hamas, not even trying to hide the anti-Semitism. Mayor Mamdani actually condemned it. The things that they were yelling. It was that bad that the mayor now is trying to look mayoral-ish. Whether or not he would have been out there supporting with them in times past, I don't know. But the Cherpas Moab, the Gidufei B'nai Amon, and the jeers of B'nai Amon, Asher Chorfu Esami, they taunted my people. Vayagdilu al Givulam, and they aggrandized themselves on their border. They acted haughty at the borders, hissing and jeering and mocking the Jews as they go by, without remembering with any kind of Akaras HaTov how the Jewish people, when they went by Ammon and Moab in the Midbar, refrained from attacking them, even though we could have wiped them out. No gratitude for their cousins. Big surprise. But ultimately, what goes around comes around with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midah Keneged Midah. Tes lochein chai onin um Hashem tzivakos elokei Yisrael. Therefore, as I live, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel, don't forget, because he's the God of Israel, the people who were being absolutely hated on all the way through this process. Ki Moav kisdom tihiyah. Moav is going to end up like Sodom. You're going to go back to your previous dwelling. You're going to go back there. Moav and Ammon are going to be a wasteland, just like Sodom ended up becoming. Uvnei Ammon ka'amorah. So you have the Sodom and Amora, the Moab and Ammon, Mimishak Chorul Umichrei Melach, a rattling of thorns, of nettles, nettle bushes, the lowest of the bushes that are all there along the ground that are only good for the creepers, that are only good for fire, a rustling thorn bush, and a salt mine, which is the most famous idea of what happens to Sodom. Ushimama ad olam, desolation forever. She'eris ami yivazum. The remnant of my people will plunder them, Ammon and Moab, for a change, because we didn't before the first time we went by. V'yeser goyi yinchalum. And the remnant of goyi, interesting word, of my nation, will inherit them. So Ammon and Moab are going to end up inherited by Klal Yisrael as well. Yud zos lohem tachas ge'onam. This is what they're going to have instead of their puffed up haughtiness. Ki cherfu vayagdilu. Because they taunted and they aggrandized themselves. Al am Hashem Tzavakos, over the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lord of Hosts. So Abar Benel says they opened up their mouths wide by Yagdilu. They made their mouths big to taunt the people who worshipped HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Abar Benel says that they were taunting us by throwing our own Avodah Zarah in our face, which perhaps we more than deserved. We did do terrible things worshipping Avodah Zarah. But these nations, which are guilty of the three cardinal averos of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah as a daily sort of behavior and activity, by mocking us during our time of anguish, they're going to get what comes around. So it's interesting. It's not that they're going to get punished for their terrible deeds. They're going to get punished because they mocked us when we were at our lowest ebb, when we were suffering.